just going to have the speakers up here just in their own rotations come up, speak. Next guy come up, say your summation, and then maybe I'll just say a few couple of words thanking you awesome people for being here. Love you all. I can just say that now. I'm proud to do this. It's unbelievable. Well, maybe I can say this now. Maybe I'll close. Should I close it now? Or? All right. What? All right. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see what kind of autos you got. All right. Thanks. It's just I could have never believed a number of years ago that I would be graced to ever do this. Back 20 years ago, I was in no position or had no thought that I could ever put something like this on for the glory of the Lord. And tell you the truth, this is why we do it. We don't do it for any profit. We don't do it for any recognition. This is, we do it because what we know of the Lord and the mystery is true. And we know the battle is true. We know what the world is like. We know how it handles the Word of God. We know how the working of the evil one in that regards is really, as he's done, just an incredible work with human beings. But it also is due to their choice, too. So it just really gratifies and graces us that we can be around people that choose the mystery, that know this truth of the Lord, that stand for it no matter what in their lives, and that they're not important, but the Lord really is when it comes right down to it. And, that's where the Lord is the reality and not that your life is a reality with him kind of fit into your schedule. And see, I think that that all has to do with the power of darkness and the power of the Lord. People that fit the Lord into their schedules, they don't really know what the power of the Lord or what true life really is here. And it is quite a battle, but we're really thankful for that. We're thankful you guys make the effort and all those things that go into that. We really think about it. Okay, this isn't a light, it's not a light thing. So we're going to try to have it, we're going to have it next year, or else I'm 6 feet under. And we're going to have it here. Okay, thanks a lot. Now, I mean, this guy over here, he's real the quiet man, Yeah, and I said, like Ronnie got it a little. I think Ed got a little. Yeah, so we're going to have this no matter what, and you can count on that. So this is always, if this is a refuge for your mind, sometimes it can get pretty heavy duty out there. And what I do is I go to conferences in the mystery as a refuge for my mind and as a relaxation for my mind and spirit. If nothing else, I could just go there and sit there and listen to speakers talk about the Word of God and relax in my mind and maybe find comfort in that. There are times I do it here where things in my mind boil and boil and boil, and I just relax and find comfort and refuge in the Lord, and that's what He is. He's our refuge and our strength. And sometimes He'll allow you to go through that, and then you have to back off to Him. You have to back off to Him sometimes. You're going and going, but then all of a sudden you can't take it anymore. You got to back off to the Lord. You got to back off to the strength and His wisdom in all things. And that's how we look at these conferences, and that's why we go to them. It's like a needed resource, if you will, all of you. It's not, even though studying the Word of God is what we should be doing, uttering it is important too. You can't just lock yourself up. You have to converse over the mystery. I think that's what the Lord would have us to do. I mean, seriously. And then you learn more, faith to faith. You learn more from others in their studies and all that. You come together. It's just beautiful how the Lord works. And He always has for years here. So I'm going to thank you for that. And then we're going to have the last person up here will be Ed. And then we're just going to close with that. But you can rest assured this is going to be here next year in the first half of September. This is always going to be here. So we'll be contacting you, I'm sure. We're going to be out in South Carolina. And And by the way, I say that in love, Ron. Well, when I when I see South Carolina, I'm not mocking him at all. It's just that I hope I get out of the state because if they see my plates or something, I might not. From Wisconsin, because some of those guys are still into the Civil War. They really are. I'm telling you. I'm just going to tell you this really fast, and then I'll leave. We know this Plymouth Brethren pastor that he was in Arkansas or somewhere in Mississippi, and he had Wisconsin plates. And all of a sudden, he noticed this guy. He was going 65 miles an hour, and he looked at this guy next to him, and he had a shotgun pointed at him in a car. And this man loves the Lord, and he this guy was saying like, pull over, pull over. And yeah, like Bob's real calm, congenial guy. And he rolled on he pulled over, and he said, this pastor got out, our friend, and he said, you put that shotgun down. I mean, he had to talk him out of it. You know, so hopefully, and this guy was into the, northern boy, southern guy thing still in 2003 or whatever that was. So hopefully, we won't run into that. I'll maybe drive faster or not look at anybody. Oh, yeah. We'll put a Dixie flag on it. What?
Special clearance.
Yeah, I'll put a Dixie flag. But again, we really thank you for all being here. Seriously, from our hearts, you can know it. And then you're dismissed, and love you all. See you in South Carolina.
Hebrews 1 is a very interesting chapter, and it is the keynote of Hebrews. You won't understand Hebrews if you don't understand Hebrews 1. I have written at the top of the column, Christ is the character, or the character, which means the express image, or that's the way they translated it, of God's substance. They're one being. One being. And Christ is the express image of that being. Verse 3 is extremely important. You see this coming out, who being the brightness, and that's the outraying, of His glory and the express image of His, and that should be, substance instead of person, because He is a person. God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. And God the Spirit is a person. So that's the poor translation on the side of the King James people. Then I'll go through that. We've already gone through the rest of that pretty well, and I don't think there's any big situation there. But I will say that about Hebrews 1, I don't know what the stats are on this, but it seems to me that it has quoted a large amount of Old Testament references in Hebrews 1. Most of them from Psalm, but we have them from Isaiah. And there's also some very strong references to Revelation and John, if not quotes, next thing to it. Now, the main point is that Christ is the center of everything. And this book is about Christ, because Paul is writing to the Hebrews who believed that Jesus was the Christ. And don't forget, Christ, Christos means the anointed one. Mashiach means the anointed one in Hebrew. Christos in Greek, it's the same word. So when you're talking of Christ, Christos Mashiach, that's the anointed one. And that's the one they were all looking for. And Hebrews is pointing out that he is the anointed one and he is the mainspring of all our being. So, there's no more Christ-centered book than Hebrews. However, once again, I must tell you, it has nothing to do with the mystery. It's before the mystery was revealed. It's one of the first books that Paul wrote. Galatians and Hebrews, it could be the first. We're not sure if there's any time difference there. They may have been sent together to Galatia and Hebrews. I don't know where the Hebrews were that they were sent to. And from verse 4 on, being made so much better than the angels. And there's a big key in this and this whole book. There is a tremendous amount of reference to angels. And then it's over. And then we looked at the three references after the Acts period. There's only three references in the prison epistles. One of them is negative. So, angels are definitely not in our economy, in our dispensation. I'm not sure. Three times. One of them is a negative reference, yes. Now, from 4 on, he talks about the angels and the excellency of Christ in preference to the angels and also to other persons or situations. So, in other words, Christ, it's really... could sum it up in Colossians 1:18. And in all things he might have the preeminence. But it's right there in Hebrews, so how great the word is together. And God made that occur. I'm sure Paul did not have any idea when he first put the pen on the paper that all of this would be the Word of God. 14 of his wonderful letters would turn out to be the Word of God. And some letters did not turn out to be the Word of God that he wrote. That doesn't mean they weren't good letters. That just means that what they weren't in the purpose of. And Pauline, there's nothing more Pauline than Hebrews. Even though Paul did not have the dispensation, the mystery. The stamp of Paul and the stamp of God and the glorification of Christ is prime in the book of Hebrews. God bless.
My two sessions, we were in the book of John. I noticed not too many of you fellows invaded my territory. I kept invading your territory, but you kind of stayed away. I don't know if that was out of fear. Okay. The first session, we talked about the first 18 verses and how Mr. Welch wrote 61 pages on that. I figure it's between 3 and 4 pages for each verse to discuss that introduction of chapter 1. So if any of you want to write 62 pages in order to compete with Mr. Welch, I'd be glad to get it, read it, and put it into our growing file on the book of John. The first session, we covered verses 11 and 12, where it reads, "He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And, of course, I had the diagram. We used the visual regarding my garden plot, my test plot, to give a symbology to how God has us in this test area. And he lets the world mow us down every once in a while, if I can use that term, because I think that's pretty graphical, to find out what our heart is like, to see if we receive him, as it says in verse 12, but as many as received him. The second session, we went on our marathon force march, where we looked in regarding, what was the verse? Verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, how Christ is the light that came from God to show us what God was like. Paul took up that same work to show the world what Christ was like. Timothy did the same thing. Now that's our job. And we looked at Noah, the endurance that he had. And I relinquish the rest of my talk to Bob so he can continue on.
The reason that I think these summations are important, we have a lot of meetings at this company I work for, and sometimes at the end of the meeting, you think, what did I get out of this? So, I mean, they complain about the cost of things, and they got you at these meetings, and you're not being productive while you're there. So typically what we do try to do, if we are going to conduct the meeting, we try to give you something to do, take it home type of thing. So hopefully what I accomplished in my short time up here, it seemed to me like it was short. I know it was 43 minutes, but it seemed less than that, was the different attributes, because the theme of the conference was the manifold nature of the work of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what I had hoped to do was to encourage each of you to be more like the Lord, more like the Christ. As a result, be more like Paul, and also be more like Timothy. Speaking about the Lord's life, the fact that he is the center of life, and he is life. That's where life comes from. He's the source. Love. Again, if we don't know what love is, we don't understand it. The world's explanation of love is a bit confusing to me. It doesn't come up to the standard that the Lord has for that word, love. For everything that's in that word, for the whole concept of what it means to love. We talked about faith, believing what God has said. We, hopefully, you understand that I believe that the Word of God is the most important thing that we have to use to get to know who God is and to get to know His love. It's in the book. So one of the instructions would be, read His book. And so then, the other thing we talked about, which I was a little bit reluctant to talk about, was the fear that Timothy had to stand and to speak up for the Lord. Hopefully each of us have a little bit of that weakness. It keeps us humble, but at the same time that as we look at this, that we can gain knowledge and gain more faith. Because we believe that what God says, He gives us faith. I did not have the opportunity to read any further because I just ran out of time. So I want to just read, sort of like what Kathy told Ed, read your chapter. So I just want to read a few more verses in my chapter and then I'll close. Verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who has saved us? That's God, that's the Christ, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Again, the theme was the manifold nature of the work of Christ. One of the things that he accomplished with his life was that he saved us, and he is going to give us. We are his body, and so therefore we have a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things or endure these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form. That was the thing that I got from Ed's lesson on the Greek. Rather than saying these Greek words, it's Greek form. So he says to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. So hopefully you can take that message back home, that knowing who the Lord is, knowing his attributes, which is really what I found when I was looking at this, when I was trying to understand exactly where Mike was heading with this theme. I found all those different attributes of Christ, and we are to be the imitators of him.
All the time that he gave you. But, of course, I had Ephesians 1, and I feel like after fighting Hal off to keep it, the offer to actually buy it back, I'm glad now that I did keep it and consider it a privilege to have been able to speak from it. The main points that I want you to take home from what I had to say are that in Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that is our entitlement. I've got my note written here. Our entitlement to the treasures contained within Ephesians, as well as the Ephesians to whom it was addressed. So he opened this treasure chest up with this verse, not only to them, but he also opened it up to us. I got 6 points, and then I'm done. Point number 2. I want us to remember why this truth was revealed to the Ephesians, and the references in Acts 18 through 20, and the different hopes that the Ephesians had heard and had been exposed to. I want us to kind of keep in mind that these were real people, and that they were very near and dear to the Apostle Paul's heart. Also remember that it was this reason that the Ephesians had a special place in the heart of the Apostle Paul. I believe they had a relation not so unlike what we have here together, with the knit together that we have within this group. He knew these people, he loved these people, and they were very dear to his heart. Point number 3 is in Ephesians 1:4, and I'll read it. According as he hath chosen us, or chose out us, in him before the foundation or the catabole of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And remember, the point I want you to remember about this, remember that he has chosen us in him from before the catabole of the world, and that this predates the 7-day restoration of Genesis 1:2 and the rest of the book of Genesis, that this took place before any of that ever occurred, that this took place before the casting down, before the sin of Satan, the original sin of Satan, that before all of this took place, that we were there and that we were in his mind, and most of all, that we were in his love. Remember that. The 4th point is in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And remember this gathering together of all things in Christ with this dispensation and the way this fits in with the all in all of 1 Corinthians 15, 27 through 28. Never forget that this plays into what God is talking about there, what Paul's talking about, or what God's talking about through Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, the all in all. Remember that we're part and parcel, and that I sort of look at us as a key, because I believe the next event to take place is the Epiphany. On the scope of biblical proportions, the next thing that's going to happen is that I will appear there with him, and that will be the completeness that God needs to start the ball rolling, so to say, toward all in all. Remember that as point number four. Point number five is in Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ. Remember our sealing. Hold on, I got the verse wrong. Should be Ephesians 1:13, I'm sorry. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, our sealing in him is secure, and that is also the earnest, or the down payment, the deposit of our inheritance. You've already got a little chunk of it. That's what seals you, your inheritance. Remember that. And then finally, for point number six, and I'm done, Ephesians 1, 18 through 23, I want you to remember and think about and pray for all of us. The three parts of Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in 18 through 23, and especially the power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him, and that we should leave here. My charge to everybody is that we should leave here to impart this power to others through the preaching and the teaching of this glorious hope and mystery. And with that, I'm done. Thank you.
I guess that's the way it is with these summations, huh? Hey, that's all right. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Just going to go through the outline that I have here. The manifold nature of the work of Christ. It's really not a manifold nature, but a multifarious nature. Like the brother Jack wanted to also expound on. It's many, many, many multifaceted nature of the work of Christ. Jesus our Lord, Scripture, Colossians chapter 1. The work of the Son was to do the will of the Father during his earthly ministry. Christ Jesus completed that work perfectly. He suffered and died upon the cross, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, reconciling the world unto himself. He did a finished work at the cross from Genesis to Revelation, and we learn of the work of his creation of the heavens and of the earth, and this dispensation working among the Gentiles. And in this church, we know that there are neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of the one body. And that is the message of this dispensation. And we are members of the church of the one body. We are not called Christians. We're not called anything else. We're not called whatever you want to name. They name themselves. Our name is believers, and we are members of the church of one body. What church do you belong to? I belong to the church of Jesus Christ, of the church where he is head, and of the church where Paul introduced to the world, the Apostle Paul. And I'll go a little bit faster here, because I've got quite a bit here, but I'm not going to go through all of it. This creation of the heavens, okay. He did a finished work at the cross. Even Genesis to Revelation, we learn of the works of his creation of the heavens and the earth, to the new heavens and the new earth. Throughout Scripture, we see Christ Jesus working with man to bring man into fellowship and to full knowledge of himself. Christ works in visible, direct ways, indirectly, in ways that we cannot see, especially in the hearts of men. Colossians chapter 1 gives us a glimpse of the manifold or multifarious nature of Christ Jesus our Lord. And I've got a few points here that are ever so important that describe the work, like the theme says, to do. And it's about Christ in Colossians chapter 1. My assignment, Christ, the image of the invisible God. Christ, the firstborn of every creature. Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Christ, who must have the preeminence. Christ must be first in everything, including his dignity. Everything. He is first. He receives preeminence. And I'm sure everyone is in agreement with that. Christ, who is head of the body of the church. Christ, who will gather together in one all things into his glory. Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Christ, in whom the fullness is well pleased in him to dwell. Christ, in Ephesians 4:10, who ascended far above all heavens, that he may fill all in all, where he is sole owner and possessor of title, preeminence, and honor, and time, and dignity, and for the Gentiles, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Thank you, folks.